risk of being bitten by a shark in Hawaii's offshore waters is extremely low, but it's higher on Maui, a pattern that was of special interest to scientists at the University of Hawaii's Institute of Marine Biology. They set out to find out why, and what they learn is a significant advance in our still murky understanding of shark behavior. Dr. Carl Meyer is the lead researcher for a new study, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Well, it turns out that this is about habitat and what kind of habitat tiger sharks favor, yeah?
That's right. So our recent study found that there's a particular type of habitat around the islands that tiger sharks like, and we refer to that as insular shelf habitat, and it's the area between the beach and the shelf break at a depth of around 600 feet.
That's a huge drop off into deeper ocean. But I think probably a lot of people intuitively sense that, you know, that they would gather where the food sources are, right?
Exactly. So we believe that that's what's driving it. That shelf habitat is essentially a lot of different reef habitats where tiger sharks find all of the things that they like to eat naturally.
And the things that they like to eat, that's a pretty broad brush, right?
That's right. So tiger sharks have one of the broadest diets of any shark species, and it's composed mainly of reef-associated organisms, so reef fishes and other reef invertebrates particularly.
But if a decline in food sources for sharks is just going to lead them to find other food sources, they're not that restricted, yeah?
Well, tiger sharks, because their diet is so broad and it contains so many different species, if a certain species declines in abundance, they just switch to another, eating another type of fish. So their populations don't suffer from changes in the abundance of a few types of prey.
So that would make them an enormously adaptable species inclined to survive under any number of different types of changing conditions, yeah?
That's right. So they are very much a generalist predator, and that makes them highly adaptable and able to withstand changes in the environment.
Let's go back to the what was the term you used for their preferred habitat?
So it's an area that we refer to as insular shelf.
Insular shelf,
and it's a gradually sloping habitat that starts really right at the beach and then gradually slopes down to a depth of around 600 feet. And then there's a much steeper incline that we refer to as the shelf break that drops away into very deep ocean.
And that would be true of just about any island, or would it?
Well, insular shelf habitat is something that we typically see around oceanic islands. And the broadly similar type of habitat that we see along continental land masses is referred to as the continental shelf. And the continental shelf is typically much, much wider and more extensive than the shelf habitats we see around oceanic islands.
But in that case, the food sources would be more spread out than they were around an island.
Indeed. So if we look at tiger shark movements associated with continental shelves around Australia or the eastern U.S. seaboard, for example, the same species is moving far more extensively than they do around the Hawaiian Islands, for example.
You speak of looking at tiger shark movements. How do you go about that?
Well, we use a variety of telemetry tags to study their movements. So in this most recent study around Maui and Oahu, we used a combination of satellite telemetry and acoustic telemetry to study the movements of the sharks in our waters. And the satellite telemetry is our sort of big picture tool. We put the satellite transmitters on the dorsal fin. When the shark comes to the surface, we get a position via satellites, and it gives us a sort of view from space on where they're going. In conjunction with that, we implant acoustic transmitters, and these are really useful for telling us when sharks are coming by particular beaches and how long they're spending at those locations.
You brought one of those transmitters with you, and it has an antenna attached, but basically to something about the size of one of those, maybe twice the size of one of those little USB flash drives or something like that, and that attaches easily to a dorsal fin, but it's readable only when they're at the surface, right?
That's right. So these tags use radio transmissions, and because radio is an electromagnetic wave, The ocean is full of salt and is very conductive. And so if this tried to transmit underwater, that radio wave would be very diluted very quickly, so it can't push that radio wave through the ocean. Mm-hmm. So the satellite transmitters are reliant on the shark coming to the surface and sticking their fin out. Unfortunately, tiger sharks do that a lot. So they're a very vertically dynamic animal, constantly yo-yoing up and down in the ocean between the seabed over the shelf habitat and the surface, and in deeper ocean waters between the bottom of the mixed layer at around 300 feet and the surface. And that makes them good candidates for tracking with satellite tags.
The whole idea of them being always on the move, it's part of what we do understand about sharks, but we're still, there's a lot that we don't, isn't there?
Yeah, so these are animals that live in a concealing environment. They're very difficult to study, and so we have to work hard for every little piece of information that we learn about them.
Yeah. What was the other, you mentioned acoustic telemetry as the other means of studying them?
That's right. So this is a system that it's a bit like Morse code, if you will, and each animal is implanted with a tag that transmits a unique sequence of these ultrasonic pings. So it's working at a frequency that's well above our hearing range, well above the hearing range of sharks and other fishes. And each time a shark comes into an area that has an acoustic receiver, that unique identification code is transmitted through the water, picked up by the receiver, and we're able to go back and recover the receivers. And when we download them, we get to see which sharks came by and how long they spent in the area.
So it sounds as if you can get pretty precise not only about areas of concentration of tiger sharks, but even about specific sharks, right?
That's right. So tiger sharks are very individualistic, and using a combination of these telemetry technologies, we can see the individual characteristics of the movements of each shark.
How new is that particular means of study? How new is the information that's coming in?
Well, telemetry technologies have actually been around for quite a long time, yeah. But they've evolved a lot over the last 20 years in particular. And as the technologies have improved, we've been able to ask new questions and also increase the resolution at which we look at tiger shark movements. So the most recent study has given us the most detailed understanding yet of tiger shark movements around the Hawaiian Islands, and indeed it's one of the most detailed insights that has been gained into the species anywhere around the world.
It really sounds as if there's not only a great deal of information that has been gathered, but it's still a great deal yet to gather, yeah?
Absolutely. There's a lot of questions we still have about the basic biology of these animals that we don't know, but we're hoping as we move forward to fill in those knowledge gaps.
We'll certainly keep in touch with you about that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Dr. Carl Meyer is a scientist from the University of Hawaii's Institute of Marine Biology who uses electronic tagging technology to reveal the hidden lives of sharks. His work involves using devices like satellite and acoustic transmitters to track them, along with miniature video cameras, to give new insights into their ecology and behavior. The studies are helping us better understand how sharks use marine habitats around Hawaii's coastline.